Mini episode 293 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everyone, welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 293. A very, very special treat. Once again, it's I, Rick Morris, back together with Kyle Ross. You know it's going to be football season coming up soon, but first, we're talking a little Breaking Bad here today. Kyle, my man, so good to be back with you again.
Yeah, I feel I should be doing double duty here. I should have a mask on for one of these things so people don't know that it's me. You know, harking to the old days. But yeah, it's great to see. It's been too long.
Yeah.
And, obviously, football season brings my return, but, you know, if there's one other thing I do love, it's Breaking Bad. I'm happy to talk about it with you.
Absolutely. We instituted this last week on the program here. I'm going to have this as an ongoing segment through the end of this abbreviated second half of the season, the final season of Breaking Bad, of setting up, after every episode, the five biggest developments heading into the next episode. And again, I'm prepared to do this as a solo most weeks, as I did last week, just kind of lay it out there, let you, the listeners, kind of take it all in. Where possible, through the rest of the way here, we may incorporate some other folks in. I do know my old friend and a fellow Bobcat, Kimberly Potts, the great TV reviewer at Yahoo TV, good chance of getting her in for one of these things here the rest of the way. But Kyle, like myself, a huge Breaking Bad fan, so again, there's the general setup is, again, just the five top developments in order going into the next one. I'm going to read these off here, Kyle, as I have this, and then at the end, you tell me where you think I'm right and where I'm wrong as far as the importance on these.
Okay.
Top five developments setting the tone for episode 5.11. Number five, the fortune gets buried in the desert. Given the program's many, many ties to the desert outside Albuquerque, the notion of buried treasure was perhaps inevitable, but was a thrilling development nonetheless. One of the major questions about the remaining six episodes will be the person who ends up digging up Walt's cache. Early guess, it won't be Walt. Number four, the most personal showdown in Breaking Bad history. Walt and Jesse have had quite a twisted bond that has informed their conflicts, and Walt and Hank brought decades of history to their conflict in the garage last week. But Skyler and Marie are loving sisters who've been through so much together. The betrayal that Marie conveyed in that scene, culminating with the slap and her relapse into kleptomania when she tried to seize her niece.
Oh.
You see what I did
there?
Yeah,
that was very good. I didn't pick
you
up on that.
Thank
yes.
You. Thank you. That conveyed an emotional resonance even beyond the importance of the plot point. Number three, Hank blows his big chance to drive the wedge between Walt and Skyler. As Hank simultaneously conveyed an unintentional lack of regard for Skyler's legal fate and his inability at the moment to prove what he knew to be true about Walt, Skyler's fear for her own well-being coincided with a ruthless calculation that loss of family wealth and dignity were potentially avoidable. Even in the final run of episodes, you had to know Hank wasn't going to wrap up the case this quickly. Number two, this is where it gets controversial maybe because of where I got number two and number one. Number two, Hank and Jesse are back in each other's orbits now that Walt's erstwhile sidekick is under police investigation for pitching millions of dollars out the car window during his fugue state. Hank botched the interrogation of Skyler at the diner. His interactions with Jesse, cruelly held off as a cliffhanger leading into next week, will tell just how much he learned from that initial ham-handed approach. And the number one development from this past week, Crazy Lydia orchestrates a massacre of Declan's crew in order to try to restore higher quality to the meth manufacturing process. In TV parlance, this was the B story behind the A story of the deterioration of the White Schrader family bonds, but the alliance of Lydia, the Czech drug pushers, and the Aryan crew led by Todd's uncle looks to be the one Walt is battling in the flash forwards representing the end of the series. Drama surrounding Walt, his family, and the DEA really looks like it's going to wrap up well before then. So, points of agreement and disagreement, Kyle.
Well, you threw a lot at me.
Okay.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back.
Let's intense.
It was. I thought we were going to go one by one here, and
okay.
We're going to need to go back to the top.
All right. Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
The fortune getting buried in the desert.
Yeah.
And the whole notion that it will not be Walt digging it back up.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, just because doing that leaves it so open-ended to someone else. Now, I don't know how. It's going to be tough because the way he has it coded with the lottery ticket, that's not something that's going to be easily picked up on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if any – honestly, I would bet no one getting it more than a specific person at this point.
I've read that as a possibility.
Yeah, because,
like you, I read a ton of stuff online.
Yeah, I mean, it just – the way it was done, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously not, you know, having read anything, not having the benefit of it's screening advanced episodes, I don't know what could happen, but I haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe that anyone would pick up on that. I mean, he's got kind of the own personal thing. I mean, he didn't even let Skyler know what he did with it at that point. So he's the only one who knows. Who knows? I mean, with the cancer coming back or whatever, I mean, he could let it slip out. We've seen that happen.
I don't think Skyler would want to know at this point because she could have it pulled out of her.
Yes.
I mean, the whole reason that he had gotten it there, she very much approves of the fact that he diverted it.
It could be the reason he comes back as Mr. Lambert.
Okay.
It could be. I mean, it certainly could be. Moving to your next point about Marie and Skyler.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very – that was probably – the best scene. It was so I have loved the tempo so far of the first two episodes because, you know, I think everyone was in agreement after last week. They were really glad they just cut to the chase and had Hank call out Walt right off the bat. You know, let's not screw around. We all know what's going on. Let's do it.
Walt kind of pushed it, though. Walt almost walked out of the garage.
He did. You're right. It was, ironically, it was Walt that caused it.
Yeah.
But it was nevertheless, the fact that showdown happened in episode, you know, one of the final eight was great. And I think the opening 15, 20 minutes of this episode was just so frenetic. Like, you were kind of on the edge of your seat. And the characters, they were almost, like, breathy. Like, they were, like, you know, they couldn't believe what was going on. And the Hank Skyler to Marie Skyler, those are both great. So, yeah, it was a great scene. There's not really – I mean, Marie is always going to kind of be a bit
very
player.
Very dramatic.
Yeah, but she's always going to kind of be a bit player. I don't think she is going to have
– she's dramatic about dinner being burned. How do you think – how dramatic is she going to be about what Walt's been doing, you know?
Well, the whole you have to get him, that was a very nice kind of closing line to that whole
– absolutely.
Two scenes together. But I don't think – I mean, now that the relationship between the two sisters is shattered – I think that was kind of the high point of that dynamic for the rest of this series. And interesting, for those who may not know Lambert, there's all these Mr. Lambert references that in the flash forward at the beginning of the first part of the season, Walt was carrying a fake ID that said Mr. Lambert. Would not have picked up on this had I not read things online. Lambert is the maiden name of Skyler and Marie.
There's another assumption people are making about the flash forward that I think is kind of reckless, and it goes to an instance of my own stupidity back in the day. Like you, I suspect, when I was spending my 4 years at the Harvard on the Hocking, I at one point had I had two different fake IDs back in the day, but I made the mistake on
I would just walk in and see where the wind took me.
Okay, well, I actually put like some of my legit info on there, like everything but my birth date, you know, and I just moved the birth date back 2 years on mine. But that what I'm thinking when I'm looking at this is everyone's like, oh, it's Walt's 52nd birthday. How do you know that? It's Mr. Lambert's birthday. You know what I mean?
No.
Well, how do you know he's using the same birthday as Walt White? People are making an assumption. Would he be as stupid as I was and put your actual info?
Well,
you know,
he did just celebrate his 51st birthday, right?
Right. But I'm saying it could be beyond his actual 52nd birthday because it's not Walt White's driver's license. It's Lambert's drive. Now, maybe it's got the same birthday, but we're all jumping to that same conclusion. And as somebody who back in the day, like I said, maybe didn't have I never got in trouble, thank God, back in the day. But, you know, again, as somebody that didn't do the brightest thing and actually put some of my legit info on my fake ID, don't assume that people do that. He might be smarter than I was.
Plus, the real time, you know, actually, at that point, I think, is the real time a year? It doesn't seem like it. That seems too quick.
Yeah. He's gonna grow back all that hair by then? I mean, you know, he's still completely bald.
I guess that is true.
He's got
a nice
rug.
Fluffy, is it a
rug?
Did he call Size Spurly?
Could be.
But, you know, moving forward. So that'll be interesting. You're right. I was wondering because the 51st birthday was right at the end of the first half.
Yes.
I don't think these eight episodes are
going to capture. No, but here's the thing, though. Remember.
And there was no time elapse, remember, in between the two parts.
Gliding Overall, which I believe was the title of the end of the first half of the season. Remember that one, because I had said previously on the show, that's the closest thing we've ever seen to a standalone movie. That covered like 3 months. That covered like almost 20% of the time.
Okay, but still, it was his birthday that day, right? At the end, when the game was over.
No. You're thinking of a little bit earlier. Skyler walked into the pool on his 51st birthday.
Okay, you're right. You're right. So, okay.
But Kyle, it wasn't that much before that. It wasn't that much before. So what I'm saying is this last season leaves you 6 to 9 months if you believe his birth date is that day. I don't want to sidetrack, but
I don't think that's going to be a big thing.
I don't want to be guilty of leading it down a rabbit hole if I haven't already. But no, that's that was just a thought that I had.
All right, totally agree with you on your third point about Hank blowing the chance.
Yeah.
I think most people who follow this show closely are of the opinion that certainly this show is not going to end with truth, justice, and the American way prevailing. I mean, you know, Hank, looking through his character's eyes, that character's dream scenario would obviously be to arrest Walt and get all this praise. That's not going to – it would, A, be kind of a lame ending.
Did you get the vibe right off the bat that I did that Skyler wasn't going to be going for this?
Oh, yeah, no way. She's not going to be complete.
Because
that
Hank was
the whole
ham-handed.
Yeah, Hank kind of thought, like, oh, you know, he must have forced you into this. He obviously figured, and Marie did too, when you know, all the things with the kids and the walking into the pool, the weird way she'd been acting. But I think, you know, they were of the opinion she was Walt's indentured servant.
Right.
Not complicit in the whole thing. I mean, they have, you know, with the car wash and stuff, so.
And she's gotten past that. Remember, she's thinking about a second car wash at this point.
Yes, yeah. So, end result, I don't see Hank arresting Walt at any point. I just don't see that happening. I think that's what they, because, you know, they set it up with, towards the end of last night's episode, that, oh, well, you know, I just can't go in and do this. They're going to be like, oh, my God, it's your brother, you know.
Right.
It's your brother-in-law this whole time. You're an idiot. And he
He's
would
either
sort
an
of,
idiot or corrupt.
Yeah,
bad
he would
choice.
Sort of have this professional egg on his face. That was I mean, I don't know if I believe that so much realistically, but it was obviously done to draw the storyline out.
Sure.
But the end result is going to be he will not arrest Walt.
Right.
Your fourth point here, obviously the Hank, Jesse, Walt, the whole Jesse dynamic, let's say. Jesse is to the point now, you know, there's a discussion, there's sort of been a debate. There's going to be a major death in the final six episodes, and the smart money would probably be either Jesse or Skyler.
I think there's going to be more than one.
Oh, well, define me. I mean, that will be the biggest. I don't think both.
Okay.
One will be. I think.
What about Walt Jr. and Holly? One or both of them could bite it, too.
I wouldn't call that major, believe it or not.
Really?
I don't think they're major characters. I mean, they're sort of.
They're so important to the motivation, though.
True. Thematically,
yes.
I guess it would be.
Yes.
But as far as a character, they're not major.
Right.
You know, they've never had a. There's
right.
I mean, certainly Holly. And then Walt, they've never had an episode built around them. I mean, when I talk about the major characters, I mean, you're talking about Walt, Jesse, Skyler.
Okay.
And then the Schraders.
Yes.
Basically.
Okay.
I mean, I would even elevate Lydia at this point, who we'll talk about,
sure.
over the children. I would bank on Jesse just because I think that character, he's not even talking anymore, and he seems so motivationless, like he has no motivation, that I think that character at this point, there's nothing left to do with it.
Right.
Unless if, I mean, I guess he could snitch on Walt, and in the preview, of they had a voiceover, I didn't know what a monster he'd become, but I would bank that Jesse is going to bite the dust. He will not make it through the full season.
That's probably a pretty good bet.
And it will. I have no idea which way they're going to go with the beginning of next week's episode with the Hank-Jesse confrontation. I don't know where that's going to go. After that, I'll be a lot. You know, I think that's going to set the tone for the rest of Jesse's character throughout this season.
Well, nothing climactic is going to happen, and I know one of the few things I've been spoiled on to date. In TV Guide, I was reading their thing a couple weeks ago. Hank, in the fourth episode, there's a scene where he's furiously driving Jesse around town.
I thought that was him crashing his car in episode one.
No. It's like he's driving Jesse around Albuquerque. I don't know if it's trying to get him to talk, whatever, but he's not going to immediately get him to talk next week. That's one of the
spoiler. No, you're right.
Alert.
I mean, it's going to be because everyone's anticipating what's going to happen. They're not going to
And they never go the easy route.
No,
anyway,
you're right.
So I'm not
you're
really
right.
spoiling anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Jesse's going to next. I think eventually he will, just because other than turning on Walt, there's nothing left for him to do.
And we talked about it off air. Walt's many betrayals of him, he covered his tracks so well.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going
out there. The only tiny loose end is that Saul was complicit in poisoning Brock. And if Saul ever has either an attack of conscience, yeah, right, or decides Walt's got to go because he's too big of a danger, he could try and turn Jesse on him by saying, hey, don't hate me for my part in this, but Walt decided to poison Brock.
True. And that's it. But you're right, the Jane thing, there's almost no loose end from that, at least that I can
think
of.
And no loose ends about Mike. Unless you count Todd. Who's Todd going to snitch to?
No, but here's the thing. The Mike thing, Jesse, if you remember in the first episode,
yeah. He
kind of figured it out.
Yeah, he kind of knows.
He's like, no, the way you are, you'd be so worried about Mike coming back to get you.
And so did Saul. They sent him to Belize.
Yeah. So Jesse, I think, has figured that out.
Okay.
He said it. And you know, Walt with just, I mean, how despicable can he be? Those lies he told him. But, you know, so that's the thing. You're right. I think it'll be interesting to see where they go with the Hank-Jesse confrontation. But I believe Jesse is going to bite the dust.
Probably.
And then you're right with this whole Lydia thing.
So that's the biggest development. You agree with me because of where it's going in the long run?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think the writers have, and rightly so, had everyone focused on, you know, the Schrader-White dynamic.
Yes.
That it's like, oh, well, here's this Lydia thing. It was funny because when they brought her back in that car wash scene in the first episode, there were a lot of people that were like, oh, God. There was sort of this feeling, you know, we don't want Walter cooking anymore.
Right.
You know, he's, you know, a drug dealer retiring. I don't think you get a gold watch.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like, okay, that's over and done with.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for that character to do that anymore. So people were sort of like, oh, God, is that where are they going with Lydia? And people wanted that to go somewhere. And it was great what they did. The whole thing, I wasn't really expecting that. You know, Todd was brought back into the fold. I don't know where it's going, but there's only so much they can do with the Schrader-White thing unless if they just blow through it.
Right.
And so that will be – I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know if they are going to – they're going to kidnap Walter's children or do something. If this new cartel, for lack of a better term, is going to do something to Walt in an effort, you know, to bring Walt back and try to get Walt – back into the fold. I'm guessing that's probably what it is. Maybe that's why Walt comes back as Mr. Lambert with a machine gun.
Could be.
But, yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest thing moving forward because all the focus is on Hank and Jesse right now.
Yes.
And there's, believe it or not, I mean, with the way they did it, there's only so much more mileage you can go,
I think,
with six episodes. So,
yeah, I
think that, yes, I agree with you. I totally agree with you, believe it or not. I don't think it's as controversial as you think. I think maybe the lay person who's not focused on that as much, it might be shocking. But I think people that follow it know that, yes, that's going to be
the end game. That got a tiny percentage of the screen time last night. Really just the
just
one extended
scene.
I mean, it was a long scene.
And it was sort of like when it started, you're like, oh, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you had all those dramatic episodes, you know, or dramatic scenes, pardon me, Hank, Skylar Marie, and it just sort of came out of nowhere, and you didn't realize what was going on until she kind of looked at the phone, and it was well done, and I just, to be honest with you, I think that's where it's going. I think they are going to try to goad Walt back into the business by nefarious means, and that brings Walt back from New Hampshire. Where he will relocate. He will disappear from justice.
Yeah.
Probably with Skylar.
Probably, yeah.
And I don't know what else could get him back except do they get figure out the money?
Maybe. But that's you keep thinking.
What would bring, I mean, what are the things that would bring him back?
Let's say on the family or the family getting murdered? And that's the whole thing here too.
If they find them in New Hampshire,
yeah,
okay.
And that's been the theory all along. And by the way, as far as people getting wiped out, not gonna lie, gonna miss Declan, kind of Miami Vice savoir faire that he sort of had there. You know, the scruffy criminal kind of look to him there.
Yeah, but, you know, every scene he was in was the same. It was him standing with his legs spread too far, like two guys behind him in the desert.
Insanely gruff-sounding voice.
Yes, yeah. He was.
There's no man under 50 that sounds as gruff as he does with every sentence.
Yeah, it reminded me of all those meetings in Usual Suspects, I think. Yeah. Who was the guy? The Who was that bad guy?
Kaiser Soze. Yeah.
Well, no. Oh. The guy who like introduced them, who gave him the job.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
He's in a bunch of things. That guy. I can't remember, but he reminded me of that. Like every scene that where everyone was like standing way too far apart, talking in the desert.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you got it. I think you got it. And I'm fired up. I'll tell you what.
Yep.
It's very funny. A lot of these shows end sort of because there's so much pressure to end it in this big way.
Yep.
What did you think about The Sopranos, the way it ended?
I
didn't like it.
No, I didn't either. You got to have some kind of...
Mainly because I hate Journey.
Well, there's a reason.
You know, I think, you know, honestly, it's a weird... That's a very ancillary reason, obviously. But, you know, it's funny. Whenever I hear that song,
right.
I always think of the end of The Sopranos now.
Right.
Which, I mean, I guess is good for Steve Perry's career, but,
yes.
You know, not so much, you know, Jamie
well,
Lynn Sigler's. Yes,
yeah.
I'm sorry, by the way. Come on again, Steve.
Yes.
but, you know, I didn't really like the way that ended. You know, the highbrow communities, oh, don't you get it? And it's like, yes, I get it. It just was unsatisfying. Even The Wire, that ended better than The Sopranos, but I don't think it was, like, that great satisfying ending.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was kind of cool, like, how nothing works out, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Nothing works out in the end. You know, all the you had to like it. You know, no matter how liberal we could be and idealistic, it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't have HBO.
Oh.
Well, you already gave me the spoiler the one time. Apparently, Stringer Bell doesn't make it all the way through.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that.
No. That's fine. That won't impede my enjoyment.
I always assume you watch these programs.
I don't have HBO.
Well,
so.
it's not TV. It's HBO.
Yes.
You have to understand. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have that. I don't have a Showtime. So anything that's been on those, like I only watched Entourage after the fact on DVD. I only watched Deadwood after the fact
on
DVD.
With the program here.
Deadwood is awesome, by the way. I think I'm starting to get my boy Jason Jones on.
Yeah,
there.
I got to start watching. I kind of gave up on it, but
it's really good.
Not because it was bad, just because it was a bad night. I think there's
okay.
Other things.
Yeah,
it's
slow at the outset.
But this show, I think more than, and obviously Mad Men hasn't ended yet. I think this show more than any other could have the best ending potentially.
Yeah,
because a lot of the key pieces are still in place. And you just don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, they do a good job of kind of they have a track record of successful, you know, of booking a successful finish to a season,
yes.
For lack of a better term. Like, for instance, season four, it was just it was the whole power struggle between Walt and Gus Fring.
Mm-hmm.
And Gus Fring lost. You know, I won. It was obviously the famous last words. They did that right. You know, it wasn't too artsy. It was. Here's a conflict. One guy wins. So, this sure it could be artsy, but I'm looking forward to it.
I've been saying, I think this could be, and I want to treat this like I don't want to go along with this corporate BS of it's season five part two. No, this is season six. I mean, I'm going along with the labeling purposes just so there's no confusion. But realistically, to me, this is a separate season. That's how I look at it.
There was no time elapse between the two.
Well, there wasn't much time elapse between four and five, was there? Because Walt was going and throwing out the plant that he used to poison Brock at the beginning of season
five. Or three and four.
There's never been any. Yeah,
that's true.
Skipping.
Okay,
but
excuse me.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. But I've been saying, like, I think this, you know, season six, if you want to call it that, I think it could be the best one yet. And what a mouthful that is. Because three and four were just insane, maybe even two to an extent. I mean, it's been so great all the way through. My favorite act pretty much has been the second act of the thing once Saul, Gus, Mike kind of came into play. Act three is kind of moving past that in my mind. Act one was the slowest one because it was the build-up to everything with the super lab. I've got a friend that I'm trying to coach through that right now. Like, stay with it until Saul Goodman is involved. And
yeah, because you hear the problem is it's hard to block all the noise about the show.
Right.
And Walt was still kind of a good guy in the beginning. You know, you kind of rooted for. You're like, oh, he's just doing it for his family. Why do all these things go wrong? You know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still liked it a lot. The first season was interesting because the writer's strike though did the seven episodes,
right.
So there wasn't a ton of meat there. But
it was kind of slow as far as until Saul came into the picture because it was them trying to handle distribution. You know, as Saul says to them, you two suck at peddling meth. But it was like they had to kind of find their way through that. And it's like you needed to show all of that.
You know what?
But it's the least satisfying sitting through.
Have you ever heard this? Vince Gilligan did not know about Weeds when he pitched.
Yes, I heard that.
When he pitched this show to AMC,
he got very pale in the face when he found out.
And he said, had he known about Weeds, he wouldn't have done this show.
Yeah,
What's it? Did you ever watch Weeds? I know you just said you didn't have Showtime.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
This just in, folks.
Yeah.
Ricky doesn't have premium channels. Let's see how many times I have to ask him until I can figure it out. But, all right, well, I did. And what's funny with Weeds is, I'm not going to tell you anything in case you ever watch, but the first two seasons, two and a half seasons, I thought were really great. A buddy of mine, Chad Repack, had to get his name referenced in the show.
The Bob Sacramento War program.
He said at the beginning, he's like, you know, the thing with the show is it's not great, it's not elite, but it'll always be good because it's too hard to screw up. You have a hot chick selling weed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, was a good point. They screwed it up.
Okay.
Let me. It didn't get good.
Spoiler
it got goofy.
Alert.
Spoiler alert. It ain't that good anymore. And it's funny because I thought the shows were fairly similar at the beginning. The suburban, non-traditional drug dealer that encountered traditional drug dealing problems. They didn't know how to cope with it. There were some
and
similarities.
A double life and
yeah,
everything.
There were some and yeah. keeping it from the family. There was a lot of similarities, but. You're right. It's after those two acts where the shows became very different, where Breaking Bad went all-time great and Weeds sort of plateaued and then got bad. So in many ways, I loved the beginning. Like, they were very similar, those first two acts. I wanted to compare it to that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Yeah, so they were and it was a lot of that. So if you liked Weeds and kind of that whole dynamic of the non-traditional drug dealer having traditional drug dealer problems – it was good, and I thought it was. I mean, there was great scenes. The second episode of the second season where they're kidnapped by Tuco, that's an unbelievable. That's one of the five or seven best episodes, I think, of the show.
It is. And I got
certainly top ten.
I got a friend that's bitching at me, like, well, there hasn't much that's happened since, like, an episode or two later. Well, there hasn't been much that happened since Tuco kidnapped him. I'm like, you're looking at an episode or two later. Now, the thing that Gilligan has done from the beginning is he'll put in times when you have to kind of breathe and kind of reset the story. Perfect example of that is, we talked about it before, 51 last season. That was one where I was in New York for the week. I didn't get to see the thing live. I didn't get to see it till like early Friday morning.
Which one was this?
This was 51. And I watched it, and it was like, that was Walt's 51st birthday, style
oh,
walks
okay.
in the pool. And it was like, I thought like, it was kind of like a slow episode. I'm like, thank God I saw that now, because I thought like whatever I'd be seeing, I'd be like dying to like for Sunday night. And it was like, they needed to kind of slow it down. They needed to kind of reset things. But it wasn't the most exciting thing. It wasn't like the train heist. It wasn't like the magnets. It wasn't like the other
there
ones.
There was that one episode, The Fly.
The Fly,
the time was a slow episode.
Final episode,
But in retrospect, it's kind of hailed as one of the better ones.
Yeah.
But at the time, in the grand scheme of the plot,
it
was one of those ones that was sort of in the middle of ones that they all advanced the plot. All these storylines kept going on their trajectory. And that one was like, no.
Isn't that the sign of a great show, of a truly all-time great show, of like where we can sit here and be like, okay, that wasn't the most enthralling one of all time, but I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because they probably needed to kind of slow it down for storytelling purposes, set the pace for what's to come. The slack that we cut them and the understanding we give them is because it is such an all-time classic.
True. And you know what? I thought The Sopranos got, obviously, is a show that's on the same par. They got a lot of rope with those, too. And I thought they actually, by the end of the show, had expended.
Yeah.
You know, David, you know, with the dream sequences and stuff,
they did
a lot of those, and they always sort of reeked of, okay, this is where we're going to allow James Gandolfini to win the Emmy, or Edie Falco to win the Emmy. You know, that Breaking Bad, okay, yeah, they'll do that every once in a while, but they don't feel wasted. Nothing's wasted in this. Those ones, you know, after the first times they would do them, because, obviously you can't have just this frenetic plot every episode of every season. And The Sopranos was fine, but towards the end, I thought they did a few too many of those kind of The Fly. It's like, okay, the acting's great here.
Right.
Gandolfini's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, there's too many artsy episodes, and we're not going with the plot enough.
Right.
Breaking Bad has always been able to walk that. They do an episode like that, but the plots never drag, really,
never.
For the most part.
No, they don't. They don't. And it's a show singularly focused on the one plot. That's what kind of sets it apart also, too, because The Sopranos, you had a lot more subplots and everything like that. This is the story of, is Walt going to get away with it or die or whatever? And the other things are completely ancillary to that. This is a show about one singular story. And
it's basically, for it's funny when you hear people about, you know, people talk about Breaking Bad. You know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It's a heel turn, Ricky.
It,
Walter White, this show is basically
a double turn.
A very artistic heel turn.
How about the pilot, though? How about what a dick Hank was to Walt at his party, like lording his macho self over him at his 50th birthday party? It's a double turn because Hank was not a sympathetic character in the beginning. He was just a chest puffed out, full of bluster blowhard.
He was also sort of almost like the kind of meatball comedic relief guy. Yes. I didn't think he was ever like a bad guy.
Not a bad guy.
You're right. He was not. Ever positioned as, like, as a protagonist, like
right.
he is now.
Because you were sympathizing with Walt, part of sympathizing with Walt is the cross that he had to bear of his brother-in-law as this swaggering, ultra,
his son looked up to him.
Yeah,
hey, what did
yeah.
Uncle Hank do?
Alpha male.
Yes.
And that's it wasn't so much that Hank was a bad guy, but I've seen a lot of it that over the period of time it's the double turn because – again, aside from the few, you know, disturbed people on the planet still rooting for Walt at this point, Hank is the protagonist.
Oh, we're not supposed to do that?
Hank is the protagonist.
We're not supposed to be rooting for Walt anymore?
Don't talk to Julie Bowen from the first Talking Bad there.
Oh, oops.
During her coked-up rampage, allegedly.
No. I'll tell you what, you know what's funny? Is when everyone, like with Mad Men, with Don Draper, because they're doing kind of a similar thing with Don, you know, where they made him gradually more unlikable.
Right.
It's funny to compare the two programs. And they always bring up, Don, he's just this sexist, alcoholic pig. You know, how can I'm like, we're supposed to hate him for those reasons? So, I'm like, I always kind of held him in high regard how he used to get away with all those affairs. You know, I was always like, God, how does he do that? You know, it's like, how does he just show up drunk to these random bars and get these women to go home with him? That never works, you know. I'm like, Roger Sterling's a bad guy for being a misogynist? I liked him, you know.
So you're a big fan of the Grantland Don Draper finger bang ratings.
Yes.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
But no, that's again. You're right. It is the story of a heel turn, a double turn, however you want to look at it. But yeah, you know, Mr. Chips turns into Scarface, as you know Vince Gilligan has said in interviews a gazillion times over. And we're at that point. He's made the transformation. The interesting thing is the tease in the last episode or two of maybe the turn back. There weren't too many Heisenberg moments in this episode. He seemed pretty pathetic lying there in the bathroom. That was Walt White, not Heisenberg, lying in the bathroom.
Agreed. It was totally different than the season 5A, pardon
yes.
me. But, you know, he was full-on Heisenberg
yes.
in the first half of this final season.
Absolutely.
And now that honestly, the big thing is that he's not cooking anymore.
Right.
I mean, you know, that fueled the Heisenberg persona,
right.
the whole making money. But he sort of reached the end game with that, with the deal with the Czech Republic. And there's really no need to be Heisenberg. Now, I think to preserve himself and his family, he's going
to
need to go back to being Heisenberg.
Right.
But, yeah.
And that's coming. And we're seeing that here at this point. But again,
I feel I'm sitting with Heisenberg here as you have this T-shirt
yes,
on, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, I have my Heisenberg T-shirt.
Yes. And just
that
for you, I wore a Hartford Whalers T-shirt today.
Very nice.
Yes, I also bought a Quebec Nordiques T-shirt, too.
You're
probably going to roll your eyes on that, by the way. That's kind of a hipster move, isn't it?
Well, I just don't like the Nordiques because they became the Colorado Avalanche. That's as a Red Wings fan, I can't countenance such a thing.
Yes.
But that's
you realize that rivalry was like 15 years ago.
The Colorado
Avalanche stink.
I still feel the hatred.
I don't know a ton about hockey, but I do know the Colorado Avalanche are pretty bad.
I still okay. feel the hatred, and my favorite moment in sports still is Darren McCarty wailing on Claude Lemieux going into the turtle position. Claude Lemieux turtling under the fists and fury of Darren McCarty. It doesn't get any better than that for a great sports moment.
You know what I'm going to impress you by?
What?
Do you know the Quebec Nordiques are in the Adams division?
Wow.
Bet you didn't think I knew that, did
that,
you?
That is pretty strong.
There. I bet you didn't know I knew that, did you? I think Hartford was in the Adams division too, weren't they?
I think they were.
Yes.
I think they need
to go back to that.
This is it. Well, yeah, as opposed to the I can't think of what the one name. I think it was the Metropolitan Division, I think, is one of the four divisions that they've put in this year.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, the Metropolitan
Division.
Oh, that's
right, they realigned.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to look at that.
Four divisions.
I need to look at that.
Yeah. Before.
I need to look at that real quick.
But before it comes time for people to get down on hockey, certainly you need to. Yeah. So.
I need my Metropolitan Division Game of the Year.
That is, to bring this full circle, that is as shameless as anything Heisenberg ever said.
Thank you.
But I think we've sufficiently set the tone for episode 511 next week. So, Kyle, again, a pleasure to get to break this down with you. Thank you so much.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.